What are you not willing to give God? I ask the same question myself. What are you not willing to give God? Whatever that is, whether it's one thing or many things, that's exactly what He wants. That's exactly what He wants from you and me. Why? Because that's what's taking His place in our lives. My mom always had kind of a fearful nature to her. When we would travel, which wasn't often, we would almost inevitably go from Iron Mountain to Fond du Lac, where my Aunt Linda and Uncle John still live, my mom's youngest sister. And it was about a 3-hour drive back then. And my mom, for years, would sit in the back seat of the car and pray the rosary for 3 hours. That's a holy woman, right? Why did she pray the rosary? So that we would get there safely. But I came to learn that the gist of her prayer was not just then, but throughout her prayer life, was this: Lord, please don't take my kids from me. Mom and Dad, you get that prayer, don't you? You get it. She revealed to me sometime later, I don't remember when or why, but that she actually came to peace. And she came to peace when she was able to finally tell God from her heart, Lord, they're your kids. I don't want you to take them. And then she prayed the hardest prayer. You know that prayer, because it's scary to pray when you mean it. Your will be done. That's the scariest prayer in the world, because you probably know it, and I know it. When you pray that prayer, the fear is, Lord, please don't call my bluff. Sometimes He does. Or better said, He always does. In one form or another. Another anecdote, if you'll allow me. When I was getting ready to leave for seminary, I'd made the decision. I had quit my job. I was still working, but I had announced that I was leaving. I had what was called a going Franciscan sale. What that is, if you know the Franciscans, they have nothing of their own. Same with any religious order. The Franciscans were beggars, mendicants. And so I had to go through my stuff and start I had to start selling stuff. I started getting rid of all the toys that I had, up to and including leaving my family. And, I don't know if I should say this publicly, it was almost hardest to leave my dog. I love my family more than my dog, but his name was Buck. Do you know what I found in that? There was a peace that I didn't know existed. I didn't know it existed. You see, I had accumulated so much of what the world says, here's what you need. You want to be happy? Get this. get that. And I had those things, and there was nothing inherently wrong with that. But then, and I remember going to prayer and before the Blessed Sacrament, and I've got the little prayer book in my back pocket. You've seen this one, the little blue one, the Catholic devotional. And one of the prayers I prayed almost every day was this prayer to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And here's the line. It says, "Therefore, O my God, have mercy on me according to thy great mercy, and do with me and for me and in me whatever thou wilt." He called my bluff. God called my bluff. Why did he call my bluff there? Because all those things, many of which I've reaccumulated, all those things were taking his place in my life. You see, the more we have, the easier it is to make those things gods, replacements for the one true and living God. And again, there's nothing wrong with having things. It's not whether we have, it's how we have what we have that's important. I say this because of what Jesus says to us in the gospel today. It is probably one of the most challenging decrees of our Lord in sacred scripture. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. I want to get something clear right off the bat here. I said this last week or the week before. God, we have to understand, Jesus is the master of hyperbole. You know what I mean by that? Hyperbolic language. Language that is excessive, but to make a different point. So God, who is love, is not calling anyone to hate. But what he's saying is, you've got to love me above all of these, including your family, including your own self. You got to love me above all, or you cannot be my disciple. That's challenging. And so I go back to the question I began with, which I ask you and myself. What is it that you and I are not willing to give God? That's exactly what he wants from us. He's not throwing a temper tantrum, a snit, saying, "Oh, you're putting that in front of me and I'm really upset now and I'm going to go over here and pout." That's not God. He doesn't hate that something takes his place because it hurts him. He hates it because it hurts us. And that hurts him. I don't know about you. You know what the hardest thing is for me to give up? You know what the hardest thing is for me to put God in place of? It's me. It's real easy to stand up here and preach to you all and put together maybe even a crafty delivery of the Garden of Gethsemane account where Jesus says, "Lord, Father, not my will, but yours be done." Maybe send you off going, "Yeah, that inspires me, but then I got to live it too." That ain't easy, is it? But I can tell you from personal experience that I've forgotten, and this is reawakening me, there's a peace there that you and I don't think know really exists, but it does. It's the peace of putting God first. no matter the cost. Is it easy? Anything but. But please tell me one thing that is worth doing that's not difficult. So, what is it you're not willing to give to God today or tomorrow? That's exactly what He wants, and it's not a zero-sum game. You and I will not be left wanting, but will actually be fulfilled in ways unimaginable to us. For eye has not seen, nor ear heard, what God has prepared for those who love Him.